The way Americans experience the healthcare system depends on how much money they make. That's the finding of a national poll by NPR News, the Kaiser Family Foundation, and Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Few Americans who make more than $50,000 a year report problems getting care or paying for it. The problems, often serious ones, are much more likely to land on those who earn less than $25,000 a year. And people in the middle are worried about the future. NPR's Richard Knox reports.
Brenda Popplewell is a shipping clerk who responded to our poll. She's 46 and works for a small Florida company that recycles printer cartridges. She has health insurance, but her premiums just went up from $100 a month to $140. Popplewell says she's afraid she won't be able to keep her coverage.
If it increases more, I just can't afford it. I feel like I work a day a week just to cover my insurance needs. I would say if it goes up another $5 a week, okay, but if it starts going upward to $50 a week, forget it.
Our poll shows that half of Americans with insurance share Popplewell's worry, especially those earning under $50,000 a year. Jack Meyer is a health economist in Washington. He says their worries are justified.
We're likely to see a larger number of workers and their families being asked to shoulder a proportion of the total health care bill that's more than they can handle out of their income.
Meyer says that after paying the mortgage, the grocery store, and the IRS, there isn't much left over to pay higher health insurance premiums.
Not to mention the fact that even after you've contributed to the premium in that way, you're socked with $50 here, $200 there, $500 another place as your share of the cost each time you use the system.
Brenda Popplewell says she'll do anything she can to keep her health insurance because she knows what it's like to be sick and uninsured. 4 years ago, she needed emergency surgery, and she didn't have coverage then.
I was treated very, very poorly. The doctor talked to me more about you need to get insurance than about my health condition. And it was a little bit late. I had to have a gallbladder surgery with no insurance.
There are real consequences to being uninsured, but also to being underinsured.
Health economist Jack Meyer.
People do delay care. They forego care. And when you delay a preventive test, such as mammography or pap smear or testing for hypertension, cholesterol screening, that's something that's terrible for public health, and it's also bad economics.
Popplewell knows that firsthand from her gallbladder operation.
I waited almost 2 weeks after I got sick. I was to the point where I couldn't even stand anymore before I finally went because I was so ashamed, you know, that I didn't have any insurance. And I ended up being in the hospital for 2 weeks because I waited so long.
Patients who undergo routine gallbladder surgery are usually in the hospital only 2 or 3 days. Popplewell's prolonged stay was costly.
It came to almost $40,000.
Because she had no insurance then, Popplewell still finds herself, 4 years later, awash in bills from that episode. She's even putting off her wedding because she's afraid the hospital will go after her fiancé's house.
I may have to file bankruptcy. I didn't want to say that because that is embarrassing to me, but I may end up having to do that. Because, I mean, $40,000 is, you know, I mean, I'd have to work for 2 years. And that would be before taxes and insurance and everything come out. That's my, you know, basically my income for 2 years. And I can't foresee doing that.
Millions more Americans may find themselves in similar straits in the next few years. Insurers are jacking up premiums, and employers are planning to pass on a much larger share of health care costs to workers. Ian Morrison, who's a health care analyst in California, says they don't see any good alternative.
At least on the employer side, while those numbers are heading up there again, and there is significant concern amongst corporations about health care costs, they can't do managed care again. They've already done that. You know, it's been there, done that, bought the T-shirt.
Managed care has already wrung out the savings it could and produced a consumer backlash, so it's largely been abandoned. The next thing is what proponents call consumer-driven health care. That really means consumers pay more. People don't mind shelling out a small amount every time they go to the doctor or the pharmacy, but Morrison predicts they'll get very irritable when their encounters with the healthcare system leave them with a shoebox of sizable bills. At some point, consumers will rebel. He says it's a perfect storm in the making.
The perfect storm, I think, is the combination of cranky, aging consumers, baby boomers who are realizing their own mortality. The escalation in costs and the lack of both leadership and vision as to what to do about it. And you put that together, particularly when you say you've got expensive, effective new technologies. I mean, the vision is that we baby boomers are not going to be the passive stoics of the Tom Brokaw's greatest generation. We're going to be demanding everything done for us to improve our lifestyle and maintain our golf games.
These pressures are already undermining the very idea of health insurance, which depends on a kind of social contract to spread the costs of illness and to minimize disparities in who gets what kind of care. Instead, the nation is on a course to increase those disparities. More and more, Jack Meyer says, it's about ability to pay.
And this sets up the possibility of a kind of Darwinian outcome in which we sort ourselves out along the lines of ability to pay and health status, and that's quite frightening. We need a system in which higher income people help out lower income people in some way, and in which sick people are helped by well people through insurance plans and the spreading of risk under the theory that, gee, there but for the grace of God go I. I could be sick tomorrow.
Like many people, Brenda Poplewell is uneasy about what's happening to American health care.
I feel like health care is going to become something that only the privileged are going to be able to afford. You know, it's inevitably going to come to that.
To her, that says something about what kind of a nation America is.
I love the United States. I love being a citizen of the United States. But I feel like our government needs to take better care of the health of their citizens. It's almost like it's put on the back burner.
Whether it'll stay there, experts say, depends on how much consumers will be forced to pay out of their own pockets, on whether the wise heads of health policy are able to come up with better options, and above all, on whether political leaders find the courage to wade into the healthcare morass once again. Richard Knox, NPR News, Washington.